Welcome to 9 to 5 Mac Watch Time, a podcast series exploring the world of Apple Watch and how it impacts people's lives. My next guest is Tyler Hayes, who's based in San Diego, California, and has written for Fast Company, BuzzFeed, and Billboard, and currently writes the Inside Music newsletter for Inside.com. How's it going, Tyler?
Good. Thanks for having me, Zach.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So we've connected before. I contributed to your music newsletter. That was really fun to do. And we talked about the podcast and, you know, not just Apple Watch, but music. And there's certainly two worlds that go hand in hand for me. So I think it's kind of fun to talk about not just the, you know, your history of the watch, but also, you know, kind of how you use it with music as a focus.
The watch itself has kind of turned into a little mini iPod for me, especially with the addition of cellular. It's kind of been that workout running iPod that I always wished I had in the beginning, a little tiny thing that just straps to your wrist that you don't need to carry anything else with you. And especially paired with AirPods, it's really become a great music device.
Yeah, totally, totally. And it's like weird that the watch was around for so long before either AirPods or cellular. They were like, you know, at least two versions over like 2.5-3 years, and you could sync music to it, and that was cool, and you could use Bluetooth headphones with it, but it really was streaming music to it over LTE and then paired with AirPods or, you know, the equivalent of like Powerbeats or something that really made it kind of click. Where, because before, syncing music was kind of hard. Like, you had to select what you wanted to sync from your phone and like sync it overnight. You could never just take it out of the box and just go with it. And now you can, and you can ask Siri if you use Apple Music to like play whatever you want. It's really neat.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what you mentioned is right, that it's kind of that pairing of the LTE and the AirPods together. Mm-hmm. That, you know, you even if you would have had a cellular watch that could stream music without the AirPods being that very simple Bluetooth experience, then I don't think it would have been nearly as impactful. So
yeah. I mean, there was a whole pairing process where with AirPods, you pair to your phone for the first time, and it's really easy to do anyway. But then then they automatically sync to the watch, and you just like look for them as a source for a speaker. And then with Bluetooth headphones before, it was just that extra step of, you know, it didn't matter if you paired with your phone, you still needed to pair manually with the watch, like go into settings and Bluetooth and search for them and put them in pairing mode. And like, it made a big difference in terms of, like adoption, I think. And that kind of explains, I guess, for me, in the first few years I was doing races with the watch and, wireless earphones, and you wouldn't see people use them that much. Like, they still have like phones strapped to their arms and wired headphones. So, that makes a lot of sense looking at like the first couple of years to right now. And it's gotten so much better. Not even just music, but now you can do, podcasts like this, and you can do audiobooks as of this past year. So it really is getting into and also like streaming radio. Like, you can do certain, anything that Apple Music has in their radio station library. So in that way, it's like the ultimate iPod.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned audiobooks. Audible's app has gotten a little bit better in terms of offloading the content directly to the watch, and you can use it, standalone, but it's still not a fantastic experience, but, you know, they're definitely moving in that direction, getting better, so that you can basically take your watch, and do these things without your phone around, which, you know, is pointing in that direction when soon it will just, the watch becomes that much more powerful as an audio device. Yeah, I had a quick question, real quick. What kind of headphones do you use, besides the AirPods with the Apple Watch? Have you tried pairing a bunch of different ones to them? Have you found any?
Yeah. So, if there's anything that's got like Apple's H1 or W1 chip, then it just pairs to the watch too. And so I've done that without the phone before. Like, I've had Beats Studio, Wireless 3, and that's their on-ear, or on-ear headphones. And I mean, that's just very different than using like in-ear headphones or earphones. And so I've like had that with just the watch at the gym. and or like watched, you know, a movie on the iPad or something like at the gym and use those. But and the PowerBeats Pro is something that I've used for races, and I'm kind of coming around and just liking AirPods Pro for kind of generally everything, just for like the convenience of them fitting in my pocket. But before that, like before even AirPods were a thing, then I would just use like, you know, I think the first thing I ever paired to it was like $30, on clearance Bluetooth headphones from Best Buy. And like, you know, you charged it with micro USB and they didn't last very long and they were cheap, but they worked. What about you?
Yeah. For the most part, it's, like you mentioned, anything with that, wireless chip from Apple works well. I've tried other Bluetooth ones, like you mentioned, mostly out of novelty, but, it was really once the AirPods and now the AirPods Pro, that I've started using very regularly, on a daily basis.
Yeah. I know some folks who, especially before PowerBeats Pro or the new PowerBeats that are basically the Pro versions minus they add the cord in between each earphone, that would play around with Jaybird and things like that and have a different experience. A lot of it was like the durability of earlier versions of PowerBeats, for example. But, I think the more time goes on, that, you know, the more, anything with Apple's W1 or H1 chip, there is in more places than ever now. And like we're even, as of, you know, we're talking today, like there's just more talk about this Apple, like high end, over ear headphone, you know. So that will have the same magic where you just pair it to your phone the first time, and now it's already synced to your watch and your iPad and your Mac if you have those things, and that kind of changes how you can use it. So it's like I could definitely envision like a day where I'm just sitting like listening to you want to listen to something, anything, and you've got your really nice on-ear headphones from Apple, you know, on, and your phone isn't with you, and your iPad, like nothing's around you, so you just like go to your watch and sync to it, or like pair to it or connect to it and just like start playing something. And also like voice control, like you don't necessarily need to like dig into the interface of the watch anymore. You can just use Siri to call up whatever you want and it's right there. It's really neat.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep. Before we get too far in, I did want to ask you, by the way, how is your quarantine life going in your neck of the woods? Cause we're all in this state of, you know, shelter in place and most everything is closed right now, shut down. So what's it like for you right now?
Yeah. So, my wife's a teacher, so, that's been super helpful to have her at home and with our kids. It kind of gives a little bit different experience than some other people that are forced to have their kids at home and do work and try and teach them or occupy them. And so, it's been pleasant in that regard that, you know, I don't think it's easy for her, but it's nice overall to have a teacher in the house that's able to help our kids. So, in terms of, you know, my technology use and stuff like that, I definitely have been going on more runs, staying away from people and just, using the watch, the headphones, streaming music a lot more, stuff like that to keep me occupied. But as somebody who typically works from home, the biggest impact is just not being able to go to Starbucks or some of those other places to get out of the house.
Yeah. I felt that just like this past week. Well, first of all, like my wife is a nurse, and so she's going to work, 3 or 4 days a week for 12-hour shifts, and then she's home. And so it's kind of on me, or it's supposed to be on me, to make sure that my two kids are doing, their kind of remote learning online. And it's, as a non-teacher, it's hard. Like, you know, it's like learning a whole new thing just to learn like what their programs are for and what they're doing in their whole system. So, But my mother-in-law is a teacher, so she's a really good resource. I can imagine that's helpful.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. In terms of just like wanting to get out of the house, you know, like when my wife comes home, like she wants to stay home and she's like, you know, she's finally out of the hospital and, you know, she's like been in the same building, you know, all week. And now she wants to be home and like have this big open space. And for me, like you, it's like, I've been here all week and I'd love to just get out of the house in some way, because it's, you know, you just want to change the scenery. And so this past week on Monday, like my gears just were not turning, and it was kind of like the beginning of a more like just like personally feeling tired week. And so I took a walk, and I brought the phone with me. I brought my camera with me. I've got a Sony RX100 that I like to shoot with, just mainly for the Zoom. And I brought the watch, of course, and AirPods. And so I was like listening to a podcast from the phone, but then I've had the 11 Pro Max, but for some reason, like, it's just never been great at multitasking when you use the camera, because there's just so much going on with the camera now. I think it needs more RAM in that regard. So I would take pictures with the phone, and then like the podcast would stop and it would go back to the music app, and like it wasn't great. So I was like, oh, I can just move this podcast to my watch. And so that's what I did. I, you know, picked up the, you know, raised my wrist to the watch and went to the podcast app and found the episode I was listening to, and it was synced and everything. And so I just used the phone for pictures that I wasn't using, when I wasn't using my camera for, like getting some panos and, those ultra wide shots. And, but that was just another thing. It's like, you know, the problem is like the phone should handle the camera better. It's definitely an issue for me. But then it was nice to be able to not even rely on the phone and have the watch pick up where the phone was kind of lagging there. And just,
yeah. Are you using the Apple Podcast app on your watch?
Yeah.
I think that's an area too. It's Apple really has, you know, in their ecosystem has kind of perfected some of those mm-hmm. audio issues, syncing stuff ahead of time, or anticipating some of those things, because like Audible or some of these other audio apps, it seems like they're just not quite at the same level of syncing or being prepared in that way. I mean, a lot of them work great if you've set it up ahead of time, but some of them just aren't quite as just quite there yet in terms of just spontaneously using those things. So it's interesting to hear about how Apple's podcast app works pretty well on the watch.
Yeah, and it wasn't that way for the first year. I think now we're in the second year of it being available in the watch, and the first year it was like, and I still see it sometimes where like your episodes, unless you use it frequently, it's out of date since the last time you used it, and it takes some time to catch up, and you can't like force a resync and have it catch up immediately. So it can be tricky, but in my case, I was fortunate that, you know, I was on LTE, or well, I was actually on the phone's internet, but, over LTE, it synced and caught up, and, I was able to pick up where I left off and just like walk around a nature trail and take pictures and everything. It was really, really great, really great. But that was my last venture out. And there was one person that was out there too on the trail who was, an older man who was biking. And every time he saw me, he'd get like way over and say, social distancing. I was like, thank you. You know, but even in the wide open spaces. So yeah, that's been fun. Well, cool. I'm glad it's not too dramatic or drastic for you, and hopefully things go back to normal soon. Talk a bit about your history with the Apple Watch, kind of what was your first Apple Watch, and then what you use now and how it's been for you.
Yeah. So, like most of us in this space, the technology enthusiasts, I've had Apple Watch since the very beginning. Just at first, it seemed like it was out of curiosity, this new Apple product. Let's see what this is all about. And quickly, over the first year, maybe the first 2 years, kind of figure out that it's really about these notifications and about activity use. Those have been, you know, those stand out as kind of the primary ways that, I see Apple Watch being very beneficial to me. I use it in a bunch of different ways, but those are the ones that stick out the most and are, I think appeal to most people as well. Mm-hmm. And so I've had a lot of the different watches as over the years, and finally got my wife on an Apple Watch, primarily for that reason, the notification aspect. But I think same thing, you know, you start to see as other people around you use Apple Watch, they start to notice the uptick in kind of activity, or the more mentioning, closing the rings more, stuff like that. So it's neat to see how the watch is spurring people on to be a little bit more active. Mm-hmm. And same thing over the years, the activity has really, I think been more impactful for me because at the very beginning when Apple Watch was released, the current state of fitness trackers was like counting steps. And at the time I just was very against that because it did nothing for me in terms of motivation. Mm-hmm. I didn't care if I went 5,000 steps versus 7,000 steps. But once I was able to see, you know, the difference in moving versus active exercise versus standing, that type of motivation made a little bit more sense. And so, you know, I think it, the rings are still open to improve in ways, but the initial introduction of them, I think, was a great thing for activity, especially for me, mm-hmm. Who didn't really, at the time when it was first released, didn't really have much of an interest in getting it for that reason. But now I'm on the latest version of Apple Watch with LTE, and up until about a year ago, the LTE was more of a novelty. Every once in a while, I wouldn't have my phone or something like that. But over the last year, I've been running much more, and so that's basically, like I mentioned before, it's my little iPod that I can just I have my playlist that I update pretty regularly, and then I stream that over LTE as I'm running.
Yeah, it's such a cool way to use it. A friend of mine who has been in the Apple Watch since the first couple, he had bought his wife one and it stayed in the box for like over 2 years. And it just, I think eventually they might have like sold it. And, but then when the Series 5 came out with the always on display, then she was like, and by then I think a lot more people, like her friends, were wearing them too. And so it was kind of like the social aspect of it as well. But, now she wears it all the time, and it's for her, it's like the notifications, you know, and not just like seeing a message, but replying to it with voice or scribble where you draw out your message. And, so yeah, it's like, you know, early on, you know, folks like you and I were really into it, and kind of like, no matter if it was good or bad, we're going to just look and see. And, you know, the further we go, the wider adoption gets. And, you know, it's a funny thing. Like you need an iPhone for it right now. And, you know, it's like one sign that you have an iPhone, but also in the future, it'd be nice to be able to detach it from that a bit more. And we're slowly getting there, you know.
Yeah. Year. Well, one area I'm really excited to see kind of advance, and you start to see the little beginnings of it now, is the complications become more advanced, and especially context aware, time of day, location, stuff like that. I'd love to see those start changing. And you see with third-party apps, like David Smith has been, is Watch Smith, I think is his new one that's, is kind of adaptable. And so I think that it's going to go there sooner rather than later, but, hopefully, that's something that Apple initiates, that the complications become more aware that, you know, there's a few specifically audio ones, or music apps that, I'd love to have complications for, but I don't need them all day. I just want them for in the morning or in the afternoon or something like that, that I'd love for them to show up, you know, when I'm at a certain location. Like we can talk about this in a little bit, but the like Shazam or SoundHound app, which is identifying music. Mm-hmm. Like I don't need that at my house, but anytime I'm out, that might be useful to have as a ready complication.
Yeah. And we'll get into that. So like, for example, the watch can detect noise levels, and we can talk about that in just a moment, but it's not impossible technologically for the watch to detect sound at a certain level and probably decide that it's music based on like repetition and then suggest the Shazam or SoundHound complication. You know, I mean, the Siri watch face can help you put complications based on like when you use them and when you need them based on what it thinks, but it's not very, very predictable. But just on any watch face, it would be kind of cool that if you know, just based on being around music, that's presented as one of the options. If you had like a dynamic slot for complications. But like, I mean, even location based, that would be a very good step forward. When's the last time you changed your Apple Watch band? It's really easy to do, and it's something I see family and friends do all the time. The only problem is certain bands are only sold for a limited time, and no one wants to overpay. Monowear Design solves those problems. With 10 collections of watch bands available for the Apple Watch, Monowear offers a huge variety of options for both modern and classic looks, using leather, nylon, Velcro, and metal. Each collection offers multiple color tones for both the strap and the adapter so you can match any Apple Watch color. Some of my favorites from Monowear include their NATO-style nylon straps and their all-black perforated leather band. Both are classics that look awesome with any Apple Watch, trust me. Monowear also has metal bands for under $50, so you don't have to spend the price of a new Apple Watch just to buy a metal band. And they have a new urban canvas style that's really comfortable. You can check out Monowear's premium Apple Watch accessories at monowearedesign.com/9to5Mac, including storage options that make for really great gifts. That's monowearedesign.com/9to5Mac. monowearedesign.com/9to5Mac. Thanks again to Monowear Design for sponsoring 9to5Mac Watch Time.
You know, when Shazam was first released, and this just the idea that you could point your phone at a speaker or hold it up in public and identify the song, it was just so amazing. It was just like unbelievable at the time. But then slowly it kind of got to the point where it's like, I don't want to pull my phone out, unlock it, hold it up, wait a few seconds, listen, and do that. And then Siri added the functionality where you could ask Siri, hey, identify this song, and she would do that. But then you're still having to pull your phone out, say something to Siri, and hold it up. Mm-hmm. And so I think that the watch, especially as, you tap a complication, so you don't have to say anything out loud. And then you just kind of hold your watch, in place, for a few seconds. I think that's kind of the pinnacle, the, what people would imagine this experience would be like. And then I find Shazam's fine, but SoundHound, because of the way it pulls up lyrics and will start scrolling the lyrics through, at the place the song is at. Mm-hmm. I find that one just a little bit more, useful, a little bit more polished.
Yeah. And it's always good to have a little bit of competition there. And if one doesn't work out the right way, you can try the other one. And for you, having that on your watch, I guess as a complication is meaningful and practical, because you're looking for new music all the time for recommendations and things to cover, right?
Yeah. Well, and it's, again, like, stuff has changed dramatically, but being out at a restaurant or, Starbucks has a pretty good selection of music that they're playing, these different places that, have music going. It's been pretty cool to use that as a resource, as a tool to, discover new music, to jot it down and save it for later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I've certainly discovered music that way. And there's one thing that the iPhone and Apple Watch cannot do yet that one of Google's Pixel phones, I think, can do, which is like identify it in the background without you, like if your phone's in your pocket and it detects the music. It uses Shazam, I think, which Apple bought to like just have a history of that and with no interaction. And that's really cool. And, you know, if battery life is not a factor, then doing that same thing with the phone, but especially with the watch. So if, you know, your phone's like in your backpack and can't hear, but your watch is on your wrist, and just like having it passively identify songs, like, you know, just sample every few minutes and say, okay, this is that, you know, and save it in as a log. That would be a really cool advancement. And I don't think it's a possible either. I think that's something we could see in the next few years.
Yeah. Well, and so Google uses on their Pixel phones, they, I'm pretty sure it's all offline, that they have that going. And, with the LED screens, they use very low power, and it will just display that on the screen itself. And I don't need a Pixel phone or anything like that at the, but I strongly considered one for that reason when I saw that feature. It was like, man, that is a cool feature. But I think you're right that, there's something that could easily come to the Apple Watch. And I do like, even though it's, you have to actively press a button to listen, I feel like just from a privacy standpoint, that is a little bit more comforting too.
Sure.
That the interaction is not, so complicated that it's hindering, but it just adds that extra level of privacy that it's just, is it listening? Is it not listening? Is it only listening for music? Stuff like that.
Yeah, we've come a long way from having to, like, at best, hear some lyrics and, like, try and search them for them later on Google, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even before that, it was even harder, but it's really cool. And then Spotify and Pandora, talk a bit about those apps and how you use them on the watch.
So I use all the, or have used all the streaming services at some point and use Spotify pretty regularly, but my primary streaming music service is Apple Music at the moment. Mm-hmm. So Spotify's Apple Watch is essentially like a remote. You can't use it without the phone nearby. It's basically like a remote control for the phone. So you can, if your phone's on the table and you're sitting on the couch, you can pull up your Spotify Apple Watch app and control it that way. So it is definitely useful, and they've recently added the functionality that you can on your Apple Watch have Siri play Spotify music through that.
You can tell Siri on the Apple Watch to play it, and then it comes through the phone, whatever it's connected to, or it comes through
the watch.
Yeah.
And it seems like, you know, that's a little minor one. I would have loved to see them do a standalone kind of offline watch app first, but at least it's making progress. Because Pandora right now does have a standalone Apple Watch app where you can use it over cellular without the phone nearby. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think for anybody that uses Pandora, either streaming or their on-demand service, it works fine. I've tried it out. I don't use it as my primary one, but it works fine. No issue.
I haven't tried Pandora recently. I've certainly covered them as they have new developments, and that was one of them. And being integrated with Siri through CarPlay on iOS 13 was a big story for Pandora. You know, like 10 years ago, Pandora was, if you don't buy CDs or buy music online, then Pandora is like, you know, your radio station that's personalized to you, and versus like the, you know, the FM station. And you had the ads and everything, but it's like, it was amazing. And we've come so far, and they've got an on-demand service as well, like you mentioned, but that's really neat to be able to have that on the watch. And it shows that it's not impossible for third-party apps like Spotify to do that. They just need to be interested enough. I think Pandora being kind of an underdog gives them a reason to be more competitive and, you know, take advantage of those features. And that makes sense. But like my sister and brother-in-law use Spotify. They like the Apple Watch, but they use Spotify because they've got a bundle with Hulu where it's like, you know, college rate, and it's very affordable. And they won't switch to Apple Music for that reason, but they definitely want the music on the watch without the phone. And, you know, hopefully Spotify gets there soon one day because they can.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. I think that's one of the big reasons the watch is Apple Watch is keeping me tied to Apple Music, and I like the service in general. I like how they lay out the app and some of the things they do. But you know, I think that the Apple Watch experience is a big part of that. And so, you know, I hope, like you said, hopefully Spotify does add that, and so gives people a little bit more reason. Like a lot of people see it as Apple Music being too competitive, but I think if they, you know, as they ease some of these restrictions and let companies have more control over that, like, I think they could sell more Apple Watches from Spotify users right, for that reason.
Yeah, because Spotify has made deals with like Fitbit watches, for example, I think, where they're a partner, they're both in, and they do more things than they can do on the watch, on the Apple Watch. So yeah, that's something.
Right.
What are some other apps that you use on the watch, Tyler?
One of the main ones that I've used over the last, I think it's like 6 months or so, LID, so LYD, is a Sonos controller. For people who aren't familiar, Sonos, the wireless speakers connect over Wi-Fi in your house, and the main way people control that is through the app on their phone, Android or iOS. And you can use Alexa or some of these other voice assistants, but primarily it's through the app. And so this Sonos controller app on your Apple Watch will basically let you just select the speaker that you want and play or pause and do some of those controls that instead of having to grab your phone and pull it out and stuff, really simplify the experience. And so I have that as a complication on my watch most of the time, just for simplifying some of the Sonos controls. I really like it. And that one doesn't need to be a standalone app because you have to be in your house on the same Wi-Fi network to control the speakers anyway.
Right.
And so it's very straightforward. It makes sense. You know, I wish Sonos would have done this first, but either way, like it's a simplified app and it makes a lot of sense.
Okay, listeners, I have a question. How did you sleep last night? What about last week? Has your sleep been better or worse since this time last year? Pillow for iPhone and Apple Watch is here to help you answer those questions and help you understand how sleep affects your everyday life. Pillow is an all-in-one sleep tracking solution to help you be more aware of your sleep patterns and discover what might be affecting your sleep quality. If you have an Apple Watch, tracking your sleep is as easy as wearing your Apple Watch to bed. Pillow will track and analyze your sleep automatically. One of Pillow's most loved features is the ability to get a detailed heart rate diagram of every sleep session. You can even compare your sleep quality with your weight, steps, caffeine consumption, and many more health metrics to discover how they might be affecting your sleep. Pillow can optionally record sounds you make during sleep, from sleep talking to sleep apnea and snoring or unexpected noises that might be affecting your sleep. A lot of users have been surprised by the results. For me, when my wife says that I've been snoring lately, this can prove her right. Pillow is also very privacy minded. All your sleep and audio data is encrypted and stored on your device in your iCloud storage account using end-to-end encryption. That's the good stuff. Pillow doesn't have user accounts either, so you can use it anonymously, and it doesn't collect or send your personal data anywhere. No need to worry about that. Naps boost your focus, creativity, and overall well-being too. And if you're working from home, you can also take naps using Pillow's power nap modes. If you need an alarm, Pillow can wake you up using your iPhone, Apple Watch, or iPad. And if you have watchOS 6 installed on your Apple Watch, that's the latest update. The new update to Pillow uses something called extended runtime, which all that means for you is it minimizes battery consumption on the Apple Watch. Pillow is available on the App Store for the iPhone, Apple Watch, and even the iPad. Discover all of Pillow's features at naybox.com/pillow. That's NEYBOX.com/pillow. Just going there helps support the podcast. Sleep well and stay safe. My thanks to Pillow for their support of 9 to 5 Mac Watch Time.
Yeah, well, and some of these I don't necessarily use personally or haven't that much, but I think there are other people. These might fit into other people's schedules or habits and routines and stuff. But there's one newer one called Haptic, where it's a metronome for your watch. And so if, for example, you're playing a guitar or piano, you can feel it tapping at the tempo, and it will visually show that as well. But it's just really well done. So and also besides the metronome aspect, you can hit a little button on there and record what you're doing basically as a little notepad idea, audio notepad. Keep track of that. You can set it to have your phone flash the camera flash. So you can visually see that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, it's supposed to be able to, you know, if your whole band is playing live, be able to sync across the different Apple Watches, to everybody playing. And so everybody would be feeling that same tempo being tapped on their wrist at the same time, which is very cool. And so it's from the people who do, Noted. Mm-hmm. They have some other apps and basically it's just a really well done music app. I think, I think is super useful for musicians or people that.
Yeah, that's an app I didn't know existed, but it's HAPTIK. And I will, as soon as we're done recording, go out and try this out because I play guitar and I play bass and everything. And, you know, I tap my foot and I think I've got something down, but it's, I'm probably not great at keeping, you know, it's like my mental metronome. And I was going to ask you, like, does this come from the watch itself or do you need headphones for it to work? But that makes so much more sense to use just the Tapic engine and kind of no one hears it. And it's just like a tap on your wrist. That's really neat.
Yeah. Well, and I've used different metronomes, like, you know, the flashing, the blinking, the, these different things in addition to audio. But, so I do think that the actual feedback on your wrist works pretty well. And is a great use of the Apple Watch.
Cool. Nice.
And then there's one other one, called Indel, E-N-D-E-L, that's basically it auto generates music, artificial intelligence generates music. And, it's primarily a, mobile app on your phone, but they brought it over to the Apple. And in fact, they brought it over to a lot of different platforms. They have a Twitch channel. They have, pretty much all that it's on the web, pretty much all the different platforms that you can develop for, they have something for. But basically it's, so you could connect your AirPods to your watch and use this as a standalone app and has different modes like focus, sleep, relax, stuff like that. So I could see this being used for either sleep or for in the office your phone is you're using it for something else and you need to just another audio source. But basically the app works really well in terms of generating unique music, and so it's supposedly never repeated, never the same, but always it picks up on it utilizes stuff like your health data and whether you're moving or your location stuff to try and present the best music for your situation at the time.
Oh, that's really cool. Those are two apps, Haptic and Indel, that I've not heard of before, but I will have to try out. I mean, this one, just the twist of what it does and how it works is just worth like trying out and seeing how it performs for you. That's really neat.
Yeah. Well, and just in general, it's a really interesting space to keep for people that are interested to keep their eye on is the AI generated music, where, you know, it's able to create stuff contextually. And so people are always searching for playlists of chill or study or focus or these different things to help get them in the mood. But if there's an app that can generate music very personally, specifically for you, based on what you're doing at the time, I found that something that just the idea is very intriguing. And I think it works pretty well too. I don't think there's a lot to complain about.
Cool. And then how is the noise app for you? I guess especially now in this different environment of having people at home all the time.
Yeah, well, I have very little use for it right now. I was very excited when the Apple announced it at the whenever they announced on stage and showed it off. I think it was part of the new operating system for watchOS. So my experience with the noise app is a little bit, I think you've had a similar experience, but when the latest watch came out and was cellular, it seemed like that there were some battery issues.
Yep.
And so I noticed a little bit of battery issues when doing, workouts and using the GPS and doing some of the stressing it a little bit more. And so it was during that time that I kind of turned off the noise app and stopped using it regularly, just as a precaution to try and save as much battery as possible. I think they've gotten that under better control now. And so it's not really as big of a concern as it used to be. But that's kind of what stopped me from keeping it as a regular complication and diving into it more. Mm-hmm. And now, and the last couple months has been a little bit, there's just less need for it in general. And so I haven't used it like I would have wanted to, but I like the idea of it. How has it been for you? Do you keep it on there and view it regularly?
Well, I definitely had the issue with the Series 5 where battery life was just atrocious. And then there was a beta version that fixed it. And then that came out on it and it proved to be effective, you know, once it was released too. And so I haven't had battery issues, since then. And I use the noise app for a little while just to receive notifications for if you know, too much sound at a too high of a level was detected. And, most of what I got just in my routine environment is that I would get, if I took a shower with the watch, then the water going into the watch and the sound of that, like, rushing through would be too loud. Although that wasn't the same as, like, in my ears. And then if I'm driving down the road and, like, have the windows down with my arm out of the window, then that wind noise is too. But again, that's not in my ears. It's in the watch, you know, mic. So those were a couple of, like, false positives that were reoccurring regularly. Rarely, I can't recall one where I've actually been in an environment where it's too loud. But I have been curious about just, like, you know, how does, you know, the decibel level in the room affect kind of like how I'm feeling and my level of patience and like my nerves and things. And so in our living room, we've got a Netatmo, part of their weather station set up where I guess it's the indoor, presence or something, some sort of like it detects different like humidity levels and different levels like that. But one thing it can detect that doesn't work with HomeKit, but works in the Netatmo's app is the, decibel level. And you can look in the app and see like it's a moderate level. It's, an active level of like a lot of noise. And I kind of learned from that, even, you know, not just the Apple Watch noise app, but from the Netatmo sensor, that, you know, kind of the obvious, which is like when there's a lot of like chaotic noise, I should either remove myself from the situation or try and like lower the source of the noise, you know. And then on the watch, it's really cool. It's kind of like Compass for me, where it's really cool to have as a complication and like see the data change, you know, based on the current moment, or with Compass, like your direction. And it's like neat how active it is. But you really need a use for it that makes sense for you. And we heard from readers from Netatmo Mac where people were using environments where like they use, loud machinery, and it was a good indicator of at this rate you need ear protection if you were handling this machine for you know, longer periods of time. What really turned me off from it most recently was, it's kind of cool, and then like it kind of just bothered me a little bit, but it's the Apple does their health studies where you can volunteer to participate in like years long health studies, whether it involves studying heart and how that relates to activity data from your watch anonymously, or there's even one that uses the noise app, and you participate for several years, and periodically it will send you like a questionnaire of, you know, how have you felt in these situations and things like that, and then associate that with data from the noise app. And they had an update for the health study that said improves battery life for the noise study. And I was like, improves? That means that it was bad before. Like it's a non-zero factor. So then I was like, I'm going to opt out of that one because I need as much battery as possible. So of course it uses some amount of power, and it was mostly just the idea, like the concept of this in theory uses more than less battery. So let me just turn that one off, you know, but and you can always like tap into the noise app and without having detection in the background, you know, seek out what is the level right now that I'm hearing. And, you know, that's cool. I also find when the health app can detect, audio level of headphones over time, you know, and they'll show you that in the health app in the noise section, like this, and give you like trend data. Like this week you were exposed to higher levels, you know, you played music louder than you usually do. That kind of information is, you know, if not useful and insightful, just kind of neat to see and look at.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do like, what you said about the complication. Like, it does make it feel, the noise app complication makes it feel like it's active and it's more alive than like the weather app, which only changes once an hour or, less frequently. So it makes it feel like it's doing something all the time and always ready to share something with you. I do like that aspect. And then I do think it's for certain people in certain use cases, like I think it's could be critical. very useful and you know, a very health conscious thing to have. But I also think that there's just a lot of people that at the moment just don't know what to do with it. It's neat and it's cool, but they don't have a specific use for it. So hopefully it does grow and encompasses more utility. I think that there's a lot of use for it there.
Yeah, I think we're seeing, you know, ways that, you know, like live photos on the iPhone, for example, you know, that's a feature from the iPhone 6S years ago where you take a picture and it captures, you know, a few seconds of movement before and after and video. And then it captures the sound from the picture and you can go back and play like kind of the motion and see the still photo and then hear the audio from that moment. And something Apple does now that's neat is if you take a picture at a concert, it will use the audio from that to try and identify, you know, what was the event so that it can make, you know, an intelligent memory of that and like present it to you later as this is a photo from that concert then. And I believe it uses like venue information as well and like, you know, groups of people and, public information, but just the fact that it can look at the sound from that moment and recognize what it is neat. And I think if it can't already do this, I think what's, you know, kind of a work in progress is looking at sounds like, you know, animals or babies and being able to make those smart photo collections based on that as well. And so you could see in the future, you know, as the noise app gets better, algorithms improve and there's just more battery life than you know what to do with, especially if you use the watch for less active stuff where you've just got a big reserve of battery already and you know, you want something new to do with it. Then you could see where that could be a feature. And something I know that's in progress is just the accessibility angle of sound detection and determining what the sound is. So if you're, have low hearing, then using at least the phone, if not the watch, to detect that's a doorbell or that's a baby crying, you know, that's an animal, you know, dog barking, and having that, you know, as a visual cue based on the sound detection is very neat. So, yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, the basic feature we have now, but as it goes on, then it can get smarter and better, more capable. So it's a good start now, especially and with the watch, you know, the phone might be in your bag, might be in your car, might be in, you know, wherever, different room in the house, but the watch is probably going to be with you all the time. So that's where the application is the most convenient.
Yeah.
Yep, cool. Well, Tyler, tell people where they can follow you on Twitter and online and follow your work.
Well, so if people are interested in the Inside Music newsletter, it goes out 3 times a week, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and you can go to inside.com/music, type in your email and you're subscribed for free. I highlight music news, new releases, but also apps, gear, and try and stay within the audio, music, all types of things semi-related. And so, try and get it as varied as possible. And occasionally do some interviews and do things like that. So, that would be great. If people are interested, they can follow along there. And my Twitter account is Tyler H.
That's a good handle.
Yes.
Yeah. Today I was in preparation. I was looking. I was like, "What is the H for?" I need to find out before this. And I looked at the newsletter. It's like, "Oh yeah, hey, there we go." His. So that's a good handle, though. Yeah. Anyone who like just wants a dose of music information to be caught up with throughout the week, it's I highly recommend it. And you know, I got to do an interview with you one time where I recommended Lindsey Stirling, sort of electric violinist, and how it tied into NASA's Artemis program in space and everything. And just today, my favorite band, Angels and Airwaves, put out a new song called All That's Left Is Love. And the lyrics are like directly about this COVID-19 situation that we're all in. And then the proceeds from the song and like t-shirt sales go to, I think, Feed America or Feed the Hungry program. So music is as much a part of my life as technology. And, you know, I could, you know, spend an hour or more talking about just like different types of music and like go-to albums and everything that, that I have to have to get like a story written, for example. So love what you do, and thanks for being on the program.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks, Zach. It was a lot of fun.